Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show, Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our show guides the listening audience in our interactive conversation on effective parenting. Our episodes will focus on developing leadership skills in children, and listeners are invited to bring questions as well as sharing their parenting experience. Remember, in the Learning Lab, we are learning. Your host for tonight's show, I'll bring you Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُبَارَكٌ. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudin and Najwa Abdul Tawab. And we'd like to welcome you to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And before bringing on our very distinguished, esteemed co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and especially for those who may be tuning in for the first time here at IWDM Radio, we want to say that this is your learning lab, and as our engineers say, that you should press 1 if you have a question or comment, and he will notify me. We bring you into the queue. I want to state just a couple of few statements, staples that we established in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. One, in following the lead of our beloved leader, Imam Warith Uddin Muhammad, when he said to us, in definition is direction. And we also want to add also correction. In definition is direction and also correction. We've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition of parenting. We say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that both parents have, and we have dismissed the misnomer that this is only the role and responsibility of the mother only. This is also the responsibility of the father. We also have established a staple that the role and responsibility of parent and parenting is to raise our children up to become leaders and to also exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their families, and then their communities. And we say, inshallah, and that simply means God willing, with having that mindset and that disposition by conscious parents in our role and responsibility to our children, that some world leaders will emerge from that thinking. And we also have established that after Almighty God, Allah, who is the teacher of his human creation, he has given the honor and the distinction to the females, to the mothers, in being the first teacher and also the first leader, not only for our babies, our baby girls, but also our baby boys. And as the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that prayers and peace be upon him, has said, that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. And there's many interpretations in regards to that, but I like to use my own, in that the feet representing foundation, that she would be the one that would give the foundational knowledge to not only our baby girls, but our baby boys. And so those who attend the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab know we always do somewhat of an overview, just in case you missed it last week. You can go back into the archives here at IWDM Radio, and you want to just type in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and the date and time that it comes on, and you can get it in its entirety. And for those of you who are listening in by way of the Internet, if anything that Dr. Patricia Salaluddin or myself may say tonight, you will have to call in to the studio live here. And that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673 for any questions or comments you may have. So at this time, for our overview, go to our very distinguished and esteemed the co-host and the co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Salaluddin. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Salaluddin.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. How are you this evening?
Well, you know, I'm always feeling good because this is Wednesday evening, and so it's time for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, such a vital learning lab that will help us in terms of what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And so I'm always feeling good. I'm thankful to Allah for blessing me and you and our radio listening audience to be with us tonight. Dr. Salaluddin.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab Overview, Episode Number 19, November 10, 2021. The Resource, 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John C. Maxwell. We're discussing quality number 21, Vision. And the subtitle is Bringing It Home, Measure Yourself. Maxwell offers three suggestions to improve vision. Measure yourself, write it down, and do a gut check. In this episode, we discuss measure yourself and write it down. First, measure yourself entails measuring how well you are carrying out your vision in the eyes of other people. If several key people can articulate your vision based on your behavior, then you're living it, according to John C. Maxwell. In beginning the conversation, Mark pointed out that mission reference vision. It is the commitment of vision that shapes and forms the vision, the mission, and the strategies and the plans related to carrying out the vision. He then posed the following question. Is it important that others can identify your vision? We agree with Maxwell's assessment that others' ability to articulate your vision is an indication that you are carrying it out. However, we added that the person or persons observing you should have certain qualities as well, such as having your best interests at heart and being a God-conscious person who understands that they will assess you from that perspective. The conversation was propelled into the area of decision-making with a question from the audience. The caller asked, how do we guide children to acquire an effective vision for choosing a profession or career? We pointed out that the role of the parent is to be an astute observer in unwrapping the gifts that God has given our children. The role of the parent is to help identify that gift. Parents should not make choices for their children. Children should make their own decision, but They should be taught how to make sound, logical decisions. We offer several ways to guide children through a decision-making process. Number one, ask the child thought-provoking questions. Two, encourage the child to research his or her proposed field of interest. And three, if the child is veering in a negative direction, redirect with questions and possibly a mentor or examples of others who have made that career choice. Four, make dua for your child, as did the prophets and wise men of scripture for it is only Allah who can cause change in circumstances. The next point Maxwell makes in improving vision is to write it down. He states that writing down your vision clarifies your thinking. We also added that writing it down shows commitment. All vision must come through the door of commitment. Mark identified four types of people of commitment. One, the cop-out. The cop-out has no goals, no vision, and no commitment. They will always have excuses, though. The holdout. The holdout is apprehensive about failing. This fear of not reaching the goal prevents the holdout from trying. Number three, the dropout. The dropout will take flight or leave when met with any obstacle or challenge. The all-out, number four. The all-out goes all out to accomplish the mission or task. The all-out will set goals, have a vision, and is not deterred by fear or challenges. And the all-out has a strategy for accomplishing the set goals. In conclusion, we reminded ourselves and the audience to use the language of the Quran to speak straight to what is right and teach our children to do the same, because words make people. We ended this episode with a prayer from Ibrahim. Oh my Lord, make me one who establishes prayer, and make my offsprings as well. Our Lord, please grant me my prayer. Amen. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. Dr. Patricia Salahuddin is always an excellent overview, and what a beautiful ending, a dua that she gave us from the Quran itself. And this was the prayer of Ibrahim. And so we always can be successful and look for success whenever we remember Almighty God, Allah, and summons Him in terms of helping us to accomplish whatever it is that we have the vision and the mission and to pursue. So with that being said, tonight I want to say to our radio listening audience that was the conclusion of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, which took about 2 years to go through it extensively. But for the next several weeks or so, month or so, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and myself, because we started this on the sister station AM 360 radio, we thought it would be a good idea for those who may not have heard all of the 21 indispensable essential qualities, that we would do an abbreviated version and giving something for all 21. I'm going to attempt to name all 21, so we do ask that you bring your pen and pad. This is a learning lab, and for those who listen in, you know that there's always going to be some noteworthy things that will be said by Dr. Salahuddin or myself, so you should always have a pen and pad. Those are the tools that you need to enter this learning lab and also the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. The 21 indispensable and essential qualities of a leader, we'll be doing abbreviation or something, maybe two or three each week until we complete all 21. So please bring your ink pens and your notepads. We will begin with character, and then from character to charisma. And then after charisma, we'll be moving to commitment. After commitment, it will be communication. After communication, we'll move to competence. After competence, we'll move to courage. After courage, we'll move to discernment. After discernment, we'll move to focus. After focus, we'll move to generosity. After generosity, we'll move to initiative. How important that is to being a leader. After initiative, we'll move to listening. Yes, that's a quality also of a effective leader, to be able to be a good listener. After listening, then we'll move to passion. Very important quality. After passion, we'll move to positive attitude. Positive attitude. You can't lead without a positive attitude. And then after positive attitude, this is a biggie, problem solving. You can't be a leader unless you can solve problems, problem solving. After problem solving, we'll move to relationship, very important. After relationship, we'll move to responsibility. No leader can be an effective leader without shouldering responsibility. After responsibility, we'll move to security. After security, another very important is self-discipline. You can't be a leader. The first person that you lead is yourself, self-discipline. After self-discipline, then we'll move to servanthood. And this is a servant that really have the concern and the interest of the people at heart, servanthood. After servanthood, then we will move to the 20th, which is teachability, whereas the leader always is teachable. And then the one we just most recently completed, as you heard Dr. Salal Dean give the last recap on the 21st one, which is vision. Those are all the 21, and so it'll be more like an accelerated version of them. So we do ask you bring your pen and paper, and we also invite you to press 1 because this is your learning lab. So, you know, Dr. Salal Dean, we're going to start with character, and Allah will guide us in terms of how many we can actually get completed tonight, maybe 2, maybe 3. I call it the six C's here. And it starts with character. And Dr. John C. Maxwell says in his book that character is just more than talk, that anyone can say that they have integrity, but character is really a great indicator. Character is your action and what it is that you show. And I'm looking at it and applying it in terms of parenting our children. And one of the foundational things that I see is one of the first things that mothers generally begin to teach their children is the difference between right and wrong, good and bad. And I think for just the brief overview will be given, I think it needs an adjective in front of character, and I want to put the adjective of moral character. Dr. Salal Dean, any comments that you would like to make in regards to that? And I think this is so very important that if, in fact, we want to instill this quality in our children, you can't be an effective leader not only for yourself, nor your family, nor your community, and you don't even think about becoming a world leader without having good or excellent moral character. Dr. Salal Dean?
Definitely, Mark. Moral character is definitely a key. In fact, we kind of put character, when you think of character, you're thinking about somebody that's that's conscious of what's right and what's wrong, and that that is trying to or making an effort to or is a person who has that sense of morality. They kind of associate that term with that behavior. One of the things that we, you know, characters are very, very important part of the growth and development of the human being. And it used to be a time when that was it was something that everybody talked about and everybody made an effort to do for their children or in the schools. And then it just kind of dwindled away and things got pretty, difficult. So then we began to look at character again. So now character education and character development is a topic in our society again and in our school system. And so there has been quite a bit of research on character development. And one of the things that I've discovered in my study of character development is I've come to the conclusion is that the adults, when we're trying to teach children character, we have to have it ourselves. So if we're talking about teaching children character, the adult that's teaching the child should also be conscious of their own character and should be striving to improve their own character. And they should see character in a way that is more than just, as Maxwell said, talk. We can't just give the child title or the term responsibility and just give them the definition of it and just talk about it. You can't do that. The child has to see a model. The child has to experience it and then evaluate it and assess it in their own behavior. And that's how we instill character or the traits, the character traits in our children. So those are, and then there are several in the research that I've done, there's the number one way, number one step in teaching character is modeling.
Yes.
Researchers emphasize that the adult role models play a significant role in developing a child's character. The adult role model.
Yes.
Character development rely on adults who are exemplary at living and exhibiting the desired behavior and traits expected of children. So if a parent is trying to teach, is conscious of the child's character, the parent must be conscious of their own character. So you can't tell the children not to lie, and then you lie, and they see you lying. It doesn't work.
That's, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, that's excellent. That's excellent. I'm putting a gold star behind that, and so hopefully you put an asterisk mark or highlight that what Dr. Salahuddin said. That's one of the best ways to teach that. And so each one of these qualities will give you a little tip in terms of how you teach it. And you're going to find that most of these 21 indispensable qualities, they have a commonality. and that commonality is what Dr. Salahuddin just said. It has to be modeled. You know, we go back to something that we established here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. How do you teach these things? How you teach and how you learn? You have to give some instructions, like Dr. Salahuddin said. That's important. But even as important, or maybe more important, especially in the stage of the age of our children, is the demonstration. That's the modeling. And then they have to have experiences in terms of helping for character development, very important, and to assess when they do not utilize good character, to be able to assess what should you have done in this instance or what. Dr. Maxwell said, we're going to take maybe, say, 15, 20 minutes on each one, and it may go a little bit longer. We'll allow guidance on that. Is that one of the statements that he made that kind of caught my attention that was highlighted, he was speaking about talent is a gift, but character is a choice. You see, it's a choice. We've been given freedom by our Creator. So once, you know, we learn the difference between right and wrong, good and bad, you know, every time we make a choice, we even enhance good character or bad character. And I want to leave you with a gold nugget. If you can use it, fine, put it in your purse. If not, you can, or your pocket or what, but if not, you can just discard it. Character is an acronym for children of youth. It's a choice has already replaced actions cancerous to embracing respect. Say that again. Character is a is choice has already replaced actions cancerous to embracing respect. You see, so when we make a choice in terms of a good moral character, excellence in character, and this is what Allah wants us to exemplify for our children, as Dr. Salah Uddin so eloquently articulated, this is the way we teach them. So the choice has already replaced actions that are cancerous. We know something that is cancerous, it begins to deteriorate, you know, it begins to have a negative effect. But one that has that utilizes a choice in terms of good character, it has already replaced actions as cancer to embracing respect. People that have a good moral character are respected. And so I used to teach my children that the first form of respect is self-respect. You see, so if we have good moral character, by most people, you always be able to command respect. You won't have to demand respect. So we could say a lot more, you know, Dr. Salah Uddin, about that. And if you have another closing remark on that, then please share that. And if not, we're going to move on to charisma. And then we want to also invite you, our radio listening audience, this is an accelerated version of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, because Dr. Salah Uddin and myself, we do want you to purchase this book. This is a book we are recommending here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It should be in your personal library. You should read it. And if you have children at home, whether you're mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, aunt, uncle, mentor, or what, educator, I think it's an excellent book, an excellent referral book, a resource book that you can go to and begin to teach these indispensable, which meaning that they're very vitally necessary and needed to produce leaders. You never can have effective leaders without qualities and character, and especially good moral character or excellence in character is essential. So back to you, Dr. Salah Uddin, if you have something you want to add to that, or we can go to the next of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, which is charisma. Very important. Dr. Salah Uddin.
Yes, Mark, what I'd like to do is give our audience the other steps for teaching character, and I'll go through them briefly.
Okay.
and they're in order. The modeling was number one. And the next one is storytelling, telling stories. And this, and of course, in our faith tradition, we have many, many stories in our Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and his companions that will help our children to see character traits in action. And also, we have exemplary characters and those who are not. And so, and that's, you need to see both, but side by side. The other one is community service, giving your children an opportunity to give and help others. And we're going to see that one again, come up again. I see servitude is one of them, is one of the character traits that's mentioned. I'm sorry, that's one of the leadership qualities that's mentioned in this book. But community service is also another step in helping your children to develop character. Virtues and principles. Now, this one is more like teaching the traits and the principles in sort of a lesson, and that's not the best way to teach character, but it's necessary. Integration, and this is the ability to focus whatever trait you're trying to teach your children, that should be integrated into everything that you're doing. It should be a part of your conversation at dinner. It should be a part of whenever you're playing, whenever they're playing and you're working or you're out with them. That should be whatever trait that you want to focus on, that should be a part of whatever you're doing. It shouldn't be isolated. It should be part of your daily activity. And those are the steps that I wanted to share with
you. Well, alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent. No, thank you for completing that, because I think that that's very beneficial information, and actually give those that are listening, that are parents or grandparents or aunts, uncle, family members, or foster parents, mentors, educators, this actually I think would be very helpful, very beneficial, what you gave step by step in terms of how we can actually continuously instill this very essential quality in our children. I want to say to our radio listening audience, this is your opportunity to press 1. If you have a question or you have a comment for Dr. Slaudeen or myself in regards to this accelerated overview of the 21 essential quality, indispensable essential qualities of a leader, and those of you who may just take notes and just be absorbing each and every week, Dr. Slaudeen and I would love to hear from you, and you can do that by pressing 1. So before we move to charisma, Rashid Salam, do we have any hands up in the air, or do you have a question, Rashid Salam? I know you're an excellent note taker. any questions or comments that you'd like to make in terms of character if we don't have any of our callers with their hands in the air? Rashid?
Yeah, yes, I have a comment, and that comment is, when you're talking about character, I think you guys made it very, very easy for someone to know how to get started. So that foundation, I'm glad you chose character as the number one foundation, because there will be no transformational change in a person's life unless they can see that model. Unless they understand the balance that's required to have a child to make a determination between right and wrong comes with an emotional intelligence. If that doesn't exist in a home, then it's going to be very difficult for that moral character to transfer over to some action and deed. So I like that particular session and that modeling. I really love the modeling piece that she shared that was so important. If you don't see what you want to be, then how can you be what you don't see? So I just want to say that, and we'll go from there. But right now,
you sound like you're a poet. You might be a poet and don't know it, Rashid Salam.
Hey,
and you know, one other.
That way.
Yeah, well, and Dr. Saldin, you know, we thank you for that. That's excellent observation on your part. I want to say one last thing before we move from character to charisma. Very important, because something Dr. John C. Maxwell said that is in accordance with our way of life. He stated, and I'm paraphrasing, he stated that that character, in terms of how it is that we look at it, and from the heart, and that's to me, in terms of having good intentions and motivation to really be a good person, and then also in terms of commitment, he mentioned something about that in as we were talking about commitment. And that corresponds with what the Prophet Muhammad has said. He said that all matters are judged by our niyyah, niyyah being our intentions and our motivation, our desires. But I should put an adjective there, purity of intention, purity of motivation. You see, the law of the land, they utilize that in terms of how they reprimand people or even sentence them in terms of what was the motivation, what was the intention, what was the motivation. They look at that. And so we want to instill in our children to always have good intentions, always have good motivations. And you can see the difference between the good character or excellent character as opposed to bad character. And as I recall, when I was in school, and I think you all probably was in school about the same time, they even used to actually grade us what they call conduct. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. For some of the younger people, if it's some that's listening, I don't know if they still do that. But they used to give you a grade on conduct. Am I correct, Dr. Salaudet?
Yes, and we still give grade on conduct.
Oh, do you? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've been divorced from school so long. I have to start all over again. So they do still grade, alhamdulillah.
Yes.
They still grade our children in terms of conduct. And you know, they're not going to say moral conduct, but, hey, you know, that's basically what it is. I mean, you know, being a student with good conduct. You know, and I know it used to be, they used to have two grades or whatever it was. If I'm not mistaken, it used to be either one or the other. It was satisfactory or unsatisfactory. And if you got a U there in conduct, boy, you had to answer to mama. And you didn't want to do that. That was worse than having a bad grade.
Right,
you know,
right.
It was just expected that the parents, it was going to send a child with good conduct ready to learn to school, you know. And my mother was a stickler for that. If you got a U and she saw that, you and your conduct, boy, you had to answer to her, and you didn't want to answer to my mother for having a U. So alhamdulillah. So, Dr. Salahuddin, let's keep moving here and see how much we can get done. With the time that we have, on the second of the indispensable essential qualities of a leader, which is charisma. And how important is that, Dr. Slaudeen? And what is it that you may have highlighted on that particular quality in the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader?
Well, you know, we hear that word a lot, charisma. You know, he has charisma. So I was okay, let me see what that really means. So I went to we need to start off with definition, right? We always talk about definition. Well, let's start off with definition. And the dictionary says that charisma is a spiritual power or personal quality that gives an individual influence or authority over many people. Now, what got my attention was spiritual power. I never thought of charisma as spiritual power. You know, it would be defined as such, but it makes sense. But I just you know, if you had asked me to define charisma on my own, I would not have used the
word spiritual
power.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second definition that was given is the special virtue of an office, function, or position, et cetera, that confers or is thought to confer on the person holding it an unusual ability for leadership, worthiness, or veneration, or the like. Now, when I saw that definition, I could not help but think of anyone else but the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahu Akbar.
Peace be upon him. That's exactly what I thought about. Well, he fits it 100%. So when we're talking about charisma, and we want to see a model of charisma, then we definitely go to our Prophet, sallallahu, peace and blessings be upon him. So
Yes. Those
are my thoughts on charisma, and I'll give it back to you on that.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, that is an excellent observation. As a matter of fact, I may have not have said it maybe since we've been on IWDM radio, but I know I used to say it quite frequently on the sister station, that you will find as you study these 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, that all of them, you will find that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he exemplified all of them as Allah's messenger, but also a leader, excellent leader for all of humanity for all times. Very important. And, you know, we can even look at contemporary leaders such as our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There may be others out there that you're thinking of that you see as effective leaders exemplifying charisma. You know, one of the interesting things that Dr. John C. Maxwell mentioned in terms of charisma, which gave a different spin on it, because, you know, some people take Western terminology and sometimes they put a negative spin on people who have charisma, and they are magnetic, they do have influence, and a lot of times it's spiritual influence, because the human being exemplifies a human spirit. And so when Imam Muhammad, as a student of his, he taught us in his class that spirit represents mm-hmm. influence. So, you know, even when in terms of looking at spirit in terms of scripture, you know, the human being didn't become a living soul until Allah breathed into him his spirit. You know, see, so this is very, very important. And so the alive, conscious human being can also affect other people. But one of the things that Dr. John C. Maxwell said that really caught my attention is that a real, true charismatic person that has charisma, they are more concerned about how people feel about themselves than they are in terms of how people feel about them. You see, right. The key is that you will have influence over certain people, and this is a quality that all effective leaders have in terms of being charismatic, you know, being able to draw people to them. But there's a duality. As some people are charismatic, they're drawing people to them, but go back to character to see how it's related, but some of these people don't have good moral character. So they can be charismatic, but what are they drawing them to? And then what what are the motivation of those persons, you understand, that could be very articulate. I won't call any names, but I'm quite sure that perhaps some people, they said I wasn't around when Adolf Hitler was doing what he was doing. But by some people's standards, was that he was charismatic. Mm. You know, that he was very influential. But when you study in terms of world history, obviously he was able to influence people, but to influence people in the wrong thinking, wrong idea, the wrong concepts, misperception, you see. But Dr. John C. Maxwell, you know, Dr. Slaudine, he really emphasized that the true charismatic person has more interest in the person and their concerns. It almost like you can look at servanthood, the real servant. We'll get to that eventually. But a true servant that's exemplifying servanthood is more concerned about the interests and concerns of the people, and not because they're in a position to be served, you see. So right. This is very, very important because you have to be able to get people's attention. And once again, it goes back to what Dr. Slaudine said about character in terms of how do we have to activate that. And sometimes it is being said that only people, certain people, can possess that quality. But actually, when Allah created the human being, the potential, the possibility is for all of us, all of these qualities and characteristics, as you read this book and you study it, it may have to be developed. Sometimes it's more pronounced in some, more so than others. But you get steps of how you develop these different essential qualities of a leader. So, Dr. Slaudine, anything you might like to add to that, or our radio listening audience? We'd like to hear from you also. If you have a question, a comment, or something, or if what we're saying, if it's resonating with you, Dr. Slaudine, I would love to hear from you. Dr. Slaudine?
The way people are treated by the leader, I thought that was very important for mm-hmm. us in terms of how, in terms of teaching our children this charisma. You know, it's that one is, I think that one would be more observation. Children observing people, or the people that's in their lives, observing them and how they treat them, because it's how they are treated by the people in their lives, how they're treated by their parents, how they're treated by their teachers, and the community people, that in turn will motivate them to also treat people in a certain way. So
absolutely.
I think that one, in terms of teaching the children this particular leadership quality, I think it depends heavily on the modeling. And then it also exposing children to characters who has this positive charisma, because you brought out a very good point, Mark, that some charisma is not always positive. You know, people who are influential and they draw people to them. Sometimes they're drawing people to them for the wrong reasons.
Wrong reason, yeah.
And so that can, this is not what we want. And in fact, we could show our children this, you know, as examples. This is an example of a leader who draws people to him and asks a question. it's just drawing something that is positive, and it's just drawing is something that's going to benefit mankind and benefit the human being. And if it, and this is this drawing something that God will be pleased with, and that is something that is important for us to be aware of when we're trying to instill this quality of charisma with in our children. And I, of course, the example, I think that studying the life of the prophet will teach our children how great leaders treated people, how great leaders should treat people, and how he treated people, not only his family and women and slaves, people who were enslaved. He also treated his enemies with mercy and dignity. You know, it just it doesn't matter who it was. He treated everybody because he said he knew that he was sent here as a mercy to people. So we use him as an example, and I tell you, it would not, you know, there is no limit, and there's no like time frame in terms of using the prophet as a lesson for our children. I think this should be for always. Always teaching, using the prophet as a model and a vehicle for teaching our children lessons on how to do, as you mentioned earlier, any of these qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're talking about charisma, definitely the charisma. He had that ability to make people feel like they were special. Because he loved them. And I think that's the key right there, that love. And Imam Wasi Muhammad talks about that a lot, about loving each other and loving each other and loving people and loving what we do. That love is an emotion. It's a concept. It's definitely abstract. But it's something that's so important for us as we strive to interact with each other and, of course, as we strive to teach our children. If they see us being loving and kind to people, they will see that this is something that I can do as well.
So yes.
That's what I have to say about
it. No, that's excellent. That's excellent. I just want to just make an addendum to love. You know, I'm in the process of writing my first publication, which is a true love recipe from A to Z using the English alphabet. But I want to say that love also is more than just an emotion. It is an action word. And many of the qualities and characteristics, I call them natural and organic ingredients in the true love recipe. You will see that these are actually action things that you have to do if you want to have true love. We're not defining love by Western society standards. And also, you know, when we look into the dictionary in Webster or different dictionary, the Catharsis or what, we might see that one of the definitions of love is sexual relations, you see, because sometimes it's used interchanged with that. But when we talk about love from an Islamic perspective, we see that it really would state that there are certain actions that you will see in true love. So that is part of a lot of those qualities, characteristics that I'm using in that particular publication will actually exemplify things in terms of action. You know, that's like in the sacred institution of marriage being one half of the deen itself, the religion itself. That's the action part of it. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like you say, was an excellent example. And he said, let them be consciously regardful of their Lord in the other half. That's the state of being. You know, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, you're a very profound educator. And I remember, if I recall, there was two types of verb. One was called the state of being, and the other one was called action verb. I don't know if they still teach that these days or what. Am I off?
No. It's a part of the language, so they're still teaching it.
They still teach that. Okay.
It's part of the language.
I used to tell my children, I said, I don't think I forgot too much anything that I learned, because my mother said, if you really learn something, then you learn it by heart, where you have a connection to it, you know. But in that state of being, it actually is saying certain things that, you know, that identify you, you know, in terms of a state of being. But when you start talking about action verb, that means that you're doing something. See, so love is an action verb, you know, and when we look at, Dr. Chapman's book on the five love languages, we see that some of those love languages actually is showing, exemplifying something of action. And so we want to see love is act. So this is good in terms of charisma. Very, very important. One of the things we want to see say is that it is magnetic. You can have, by Allah's permission, the ability to be able to draw people to you. Now, when you draw, what are you using to draw them to you? And as Dr. Salahuddin has said, that the best thing to draw people that the Prophet did was in terms of modeling. We go back to modeling again. We can't get away from it. Modeling the Quran, you know, as his wife Aisha was asked, who is Muhammad ibn Abdullah? And she responded to the man that asked the question, do you not read the Quran? And I'm quite sure he probably felt a little insulted. What do you mean? He might have said that to her like that, but he was thinking it, obviously. Well, of course I read the Quran. So, well, that's who Muhammad ibn Abdullah is. He is the Quran in his action, in his living. He's living the Quran. This is very important. It goes back in terms of action. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people who know the Quran. They can quote the Quran and all of that. But then the question becomes, as I asked the question in a recent Talim I did here in St. Louis, the ultimate goal is to live the Quran. This is very, very important. And so, in terms of how we look at that, in terms of charisma, in terms of being magnetic and drawing people to you, it goes back to what Dr. Salahuddin said. If we follow in the Prophet, we're following the messenger, then we'll be modeling that in our conduct and our behavior. And this is a quality that you see in all effective leaders in being charismatic, because that can influence and impact other people. And especially when we're talking about children, our parents have to model that charisma and being charismatic, and that has a profound effect. So we're about 2 minutes here, about a minute and a half. So I want to give you at least 1 minute of those 2 minutes, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, what you would like to leave to the radio listening audience as we get ready to sign off here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Dr. Salahuddin.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I would like to say to our audience that if we want children with good character, or to exhibit character traits such as caring and loving and responsibility and honesty, etc., and we also want charismatic children, we have to be those things ourselves, because children see what we do better than they hear what we say. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, so very well said. Very concise, but very, very impactful. And I want to thank you, Dr. Patricia Slaudin, for each and every Wednesday that you come on and share your insight and wisdom with the radio listening audience. We do appreciate you greatly. And inshallah, we'll see you back here next week on Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. There you have it. The first hour here on IWDM Radio. Dr. Patricia Slaudin and yours truly. The Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we do thank Dr. Slaudin, the excellent job that she's doing and the valuable contributions that she's making here on this Learning Lab. Hopefully you took some very good notes tonight. And before we get ready to transition to the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and I want to remind you that tomorrow, the Sister Learning Lab here with Quran Shakir, there in the Jewel of the South, that's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, will be joining me here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and we'll be on the publication by Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid, on Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. So you don't want to miss that with Quran Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that'll start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and at 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And so as we get ready to open up for our next production here, I always like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbi al-Alamin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he doesn't have any partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I like to bring and present to you each and every Wednesday night here every distinguished and esteemed guest inside of our community, the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less this evening, as we have back with us a very distinguished and esteemed guest, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, and also I believe that a very distinguished and esteemed co-host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, my good sister and friend, Quran Shakir. And he may have somebody else with them, but at this time, I want to extend the greetings of peace to them that's on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I think I heard three voices. I don't know, but I know both of the very distinctive voices that we had used to hear for all over the years and everything. And I know I heard Quran Shakir's voice, and I heard my good sister and friend Aisha K. Mustafa. Did I hear a third voice?
Yes, you did. That was Sister Naima Abdullah Wells. Naima, you want
okay,
to introduce
Sister Naima?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Sister Naima. Okay. I know she said, Brother Marshall, he don't play like you don't know who I am. All right, Sister Naima. Well, I want to say welcome all of you to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. It's always an honor to have you back with us, and I know our radio listening audience is awaiting, you know, exciting news as we're getting closer and closer to the 2021 Time to Be Grateful, hosted by the Atlanta Masjid there in the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm quite sure I can even hear in just your laughter the enthusiasm. So I got to start with you, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa. You've been doing this for a while now. The zeal and enthusiasm, it seems like it's still there, even though that this year will be, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first virtual one that we had since the pandemic. Dr. I won't call you doctor because you're a doctor. No. Anytime you get on that that Muslim journal and stuff, you're operating on the people's minds there. So, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, once again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. And thank you so very much for having us back and being a friend to the Muslim Journal all through the years. You know, it's no fun if you don't have friendship. It's no good if you don't have audience. And we appreciate for all the supporters. This is not a solo, you know. We definitely need group participation. As well,
yes,
as the
ma'am.
Muslim Journal, you know,
yes.
On behalf of.
Well, yes, you most definitely. And, you know, this is really serious business tonight. This is why I wanted to invite you all on as a panel, because this is, to my knowledge, the only fundraiser for the Muslim Journal, and this is a major fundraiser for the Muslim Journal. And the believers, Aisha, have really come through over the years for the Time to Be Grateful. And, you know, many have heard the narrative as to how this actually got started and all. And just to know something. And one day I want to have you back. I want to say that Sister Aisha Mustafa, in her own right, when it comes to newspapers and all, our beloved sister is really loaded with the historical background, and many of them, how they got started and all of this and everything. And so as time changes, you know, even the Muslim Journal is making the needed and necessary changes, but to even have the newspaper and the operational costs that comes along with it, we need your support. We need your support in keeping this alive and on. And we want to just thank Aisha K. Mustafa and her staff for many, many years, the diligence and the work that they have put in. And so I found it needed and necessary to have you on so that you can disseminate this information and then bring our community to update. And I'm going to go to Quran and Naima and all, and because they're part of this planning committee there, as some of you may not know, but whatever city is selected, they form a committee in terms of how the proceedings would go, the programming and all for the Time to Be Grateful. And it just seems like to me, each year it gets better and better and better, bigger and bigger. So I'm going to go to you, Grant and Naima. Unless Aisha, you had something else to say before I go to them, because we really want to get into what the itinerary will look like this year, and we want to continuously give them the information as to how they can go online and register and how they can donate for this, toward this effort. So who want to start? Karan, Naima, Aisha, you have something you want to say before?
Let's say something before Naima and Karan comes on. You know we plan on a lot of plans.
Yes, ma'am.
And then came COVID-19 that also
yes.
planned.
Mm-hmm.
And then came the quarantines and the shutdowns and the distancing, shutting down of travel, being in collective groups, all of that came like a swell, just a whirlwind swell. And out of all of those circumstances that have impacted the whole world, not just us Muslims, but the whole world has impacted the whole world, if we had even thought of planning ahead, I don't think we would have known that the place to be in terms of this type of impact on us would be in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, ma'am.
No other team I can think of where we've been before or where we plan to go to could have handled putting together this type of program as a virtual 3-day packed field, exciting extravaganza better than the team we have in Atlanta, Georgia.
Alhamdulillah.
We were just wandering through the dark trying to figure out where we going, and we knew Atlanta was down the road. And when we got there, we said, all we could say is, thank Allah. And from that point on, I turned it on over to Quran and Naima.
Yeah, thank you. And there's a little noise background there, Rashid, Salam. I'm going to ask you to be Dick Tracy and see if you can find there's a mic open. And I want to just say that if you have some noise in your background, know that we can hear it. This is being recorded and put into the archives of IWDM Radio. So if you're not speaking, just mute yourself. And everything, you may be in an environment where you don't have any control, so we'll have a good, clear, crisp broadcast. So, Naima and Quran, which one of you want to start first? And let's start with the itinerary. We know that everything begins in this community with Salatul Juma, and let's walk us through this, starting with Friday. And hopefully, if you got some names and all, I think it would be good to put some names here. I'm thinking you got pretty much almost everything finalized for the 2021 Time to Be Grateful held by the Atlanta Masjid there in the ATL. Quran, Naima?
Yes, alhamdulillah. First, I would like to thank Sister Aisha and the Muslim Journal for entrusting this valuable event to the Atlanta Masjid community. And I want to say that when we began thinking about where do we go in this time of the pandemic and how will we carry out such a legacy in our community that's very much valued, one of the first things we did have a discussion about was centered around what does our community need to feel and hear and experience at this time? And it was that kind of conversation that led us just to the theme of this event, you know, and we came from the perspective of how Allah has said to us that we are resilient and we have this ability to bounce back from hardship and challenges. And, you know, we've been through almost 2 years of a big challenge for our country and our world.
Mm-hmm.
And for us as a Muslim community, not being able to venture to the various cities to see each other and rejoice in that family reunion was a challenge. And we said, no, we're not going to focus on the challenge. We're going to really focus on how Allah has instilled in us this ability to be resilient and to bounce back, and that our hardships don't become our challenges. So I want to begin there. And Naima, I'm going to pause so that if you want to have an introductory comment before we get into the actual agenda, then I'll give you the space now.
Okay. Yeah, Naima, we want to hear from you.
Assalamu alaikum.
And welcome to the MGM Roundtable, Naima. It's an honor to have you back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much, Quran, for basically starting it off with the theme of Al-Inshira. So our theme this year is Al-Inshira, the resilient, restoring, refocusing and replenishing. And although we're going to go through the agenda, of course, you know that we're going to keep some things back so that people will have a little bit of excitement and things to look forward to. But all of the topics in the whole plenary that we have for the actual time to be grateful for December 10th to the 12th, 2021, is all about reliance, restoring, refocusing, and replenishing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to all the way go, we want to think about, like, all of these terms, exactly what they mean, and why we have chosen these particular words is because they feed directly into our
workshop. Excuse me, Naima, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry. But if you hear noise in your own immediate background, if you're not speaking, I'm asking that you mute yourself on your phone there so that we can hear Naima without the noise background. Thank you. Go ahead. Continue, please, Naima.
Okay. And so we want to start off telling about the weekend with a welcome. So, of course, everyone will start Friday. Of course, we always start with Juma. And
yes.
Starting the Juma Khutbah with the Atlanta Masjid Imam Suleiman Hamid, and then going into the welcome after that. So it starts early in the day and goes all the way to probably about 8 o'clock-ish, I would say. So just people thinking about really sitting in front of their computers, and we're going to actually teach people how to take their computer, connect it to their TV, so they can actually feel like they're having an actual experience. And so for all of those people that have those 45, 55, and 65-inch TVs, they will actually feel like they're in the actual space. So that's going to be exciting. So definitely want to make sure that we share that with people. You had a comment about that?
No, that's great. I mean, wow, you know, that this is news already. So, you know,
right.
It become a family affair.
Yes, and it is a family affair. So we want to make sure that everyone feels like, you know, sometimes when you go, when you're actually in person, you'll see how everyone kind of breaks up. And the adults go one way, and sometimes the teenagers and young people go another way. And then they have a smaller children in other rooms where other people maybe are taking care of them and things like that. Well, this is bringing about a restoring of family life. And so this is going to be exciting. So we're asking everyone to, number one, when you come on Friday, dress in your, as I would like to say, finest Friday. And so come to the table and come to the screen and to the computer as if you're at the Juma. We still want people to dress nice. And one of the things about dressing nice is that when you dress nice, you feel good. And so you'll be at home, but you'll be smiling, and you'll be seeing things on the screen, and hopefully you'll have other people in your space as well. So making sure that you gather not only your intermediate family, but also your Muslim friends and families that are actually in your locale, ask them to come over. And the more people that we can actually get together in various spaces, the more you feel like you're at an experience. And again, you feel like you're at a time to be grateful because, of course, it's always a time to be grateful. And so as we're going on, we're saying the welcome. We'll have the greetings by, again, Imam Suleiman Hamid. And then we'll go into something very, very unique, a video tour of Muslim schools in Atlanta. This is something that is going to really it's going to be a focus of, you know, not just the Muhammad Schools of Atlanta, but Muslim schools around Atlanta. And for people who don't know, there are over 75 different masajid in the Atlanta area. And so when you start thinking about how many masajid you have, you also have to think about the number of schools and how we are educating our children. So this is going to be an actual treat for everyone. So you have never been to Atlanta, you're still going to be able to see Atlanta in its full glory. So I'm excited about that. And then we'll also have a marketplace that actually happens throughout the weekend. And in terms of that marketplace, we'll have an introduction of different vendors that will basically be sharing their vendor story and or commercial. So looking out for that, we'll have all these vendor pitches and things like that, products, services. And you know how we have in our community. It's always a plethora of people who are selling any and everything as well as services. And those resources that we have in our community are essential to continuing to build the community. And so remembering that all of the money that you're saving by not traveling to a specific place, we want you to put those dollars back into this into the effort of this event, meaning through sponsorship, through donations, through your registration, and through vendors. So,
yes.
Okay, you may be, you know, saving $1,000. It is okay to spend $200 and spread it amongst various vendors. So we definitely want people to make sure that they're also coming with the intention to spend money. Okay?
So say that again, Naima. Put a little emphasis on that. Dude. Like you say, put a little mustard on that sandwich, if you would.
Yes. So definitely, and remembering that, the intention goes a long way. So when you even register, you say, I intend to show up for a time to be grateful. And again, why? Because it's always a time to be grateful. And I'm echoing that phrase often because that is actually something that we have been promoting on the Muslim Journal page. We had a couple of people across the world who did videos. They said where they were, their name, and they echoed this phrase, it's always a time to be grateful. And that specific phrase kind of also centers around the theme of Al Insura, the resilience, the restoring, refocusing, and replenishing. So just want to make sure that we also understand why we're saying that over and over and over again. And then, of course, as the social hour, the social activity continues through that evening, we'll be having some awards. But something that is going to be very, very special about our awards show is that it will be happening throughout the entire weekend. So everyone, we want everyone to be on their feet and to be present any and every time we have this award show. Mm-hmm. And the platform that we specifically are using, we definitely want people to register. So we already had a newsletter go out. We already had over 100-something people pre-register. And that pre-registration, I just want to make sure that we are clear with that. That pre-registration is just telling us, hey, I am actually interested and I intend to spend my money through the registration. So if you pre-register, you now will be getting an email within the next 2 days, hopefully no later than Friday, to actually register for the conference. And so the conference registration will be coming up. We have various packages for people, and we definitely want everyone to make sure that they fill out exactly what they feel is most beneficial for them and their family. And so other avenues in which we can have people participate is, again, the sponsorships. We have business sponsorships that start out at $500, $1,000, and $5,000. We have banner ads in which you can do it for $500. Banner ads will basically include your business name, going across the bottom of the screen throughout the weekend. We have a $1,000 sponsorship, which is a half-page ad in the Muslim Journal as well as a banner ad. And then we have the $5,000 level, which is a full-page article, a banner ad, and a full-page article and ad in the Muslim Journal. So when you're thinking about collectively as a community, what do you want to present to the nationwide community? This is a great effort. So when we say $5,000, really, that's what, 50 people giving $100? If you have, you know, various people. So just kind of thinking of it not just, hey, only one person can do this, but if one person can do that, great. But also thinking of, hey, let's, as a masajid, let's, as a masjid, let's do this $5,000 package, and then we can also share with the community something that we're doing here in our locale, whether it's getting a building fund together or whether it's establishing a school or whether it's establishing a business resource or whatever you're doing in your locale. This is where you can share that with the nationwide full-page article, banner ad, and an ad in the Muslim Journal. So just kind of thinking about that. But next we're going to go into day two. So after we have the day one, we have all of the awards, we have the review of the day and the closing of the day. And then we're asking, so everyone, we're going to end it. As I said, it's about 8 o'clock. And there'll be some times in between where, you know, people are actually exercising and or standing up. We also have some, the Muhammad schools will be showcasing Friday night as well. So just making sure that everyone is ready to be tantalized with the entertainment extravaganza by the Muhammad Schools of Atlanta, and it is what we call a showcase. So just thinking about all of the children from the very young to all of the graduating seniors, everyone will be participating, and it is definitely going to be a production that you don't want to miss. Okay?
Yes.
So, again, closing out, that's day one. And I'm sure everyone is excited. Like, man, day one is just the brand new year. It is. And we're ending at 8 o'clock so that everyone can eat dinner, get some rest, and wake up early. So after Fajr, we want you to get that exercise in before you come to day two, which starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Before you go into day two, let me say this here. If you just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and I have as my guest Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, and also Quran Shakir, and also Naima there in Atlanta. They are members of the Atlanta Planning Committee for 2021, Time to Be Grateful. And those of you who may have heard Naima, boy, this is really exciting that it's going to be happening December the 10th through the 12th. And all, we encourage you to get registered and call pre-registration. Those who want to make donations and all, hopefully you're listening carefully to this information. If you have questions or comments, and Naima's is going pretty fast there, but if you have questions or comments, then we can slow Naima down a little bit. And, she'll give you some more information and in a few minutes. We're going to get that information as to how you can register, and then we're going to get it again before we sign off tonight and everything. But they will accept any questions that's pertaining to the 2021 Time to Be Grateful that is hosted by the Atlanta Masjid there in Atlanta, Georgia. And you've already heard some very exciting things. You don't want to hear about it secondhand. You actually want to be there on your big screen television and everything. They're going to even help you if you don't know how to set that up. Boy, I tell you, you're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, and you never got on a plane. You never got on the train. No, you got on a bus or a car. You're watching it right there in your living room, and so you'll be right there in Atlanta, Georgia, where it all will be taking place. So if you got a question or comment, I'm advising you to press 1, and my engineer, Rashid Salam, will alert me that you're in the queue and that you have your hands up for a question for Naima, and that'll slow her down a little bit to have to answer your question. So back to you, Naima.
Well, I wanted to say, Mark, to our listening audience, when we were planning this event, we were really thinking about our community. And so we looked at our ensuring what Allah repeats, but in the Mount Usra Yusra, there is every difficulty, there is relief. And so we were honing in on what does that relief look like for us and how do we accommodate our community. So we were constantly having these conversations about making sure our community feels their own resilience and ability to bounce back. And so making it something conducive to everyone. And so when Naima starts to talk about day two, you'll hear we're not starting that day until 10 a.m. And we didn't start until 10 a.m. in consideration of our brothers and sisters on the West Coast. And, you know, thinking,
Allahu Akbar.
So we were thinking about our community. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, and so we did that. And then also in planning it, and Naima can go through the calendar to let you hear some of the things. But we said in this resilience, in this bouncing back, in this belief, then let's look at 5 things that we can offer our community. So we have 5 tracks is what we have for our sessions that you'll see. And we also have our entertainment, which highlights and celebrates who we are. And we're celebrating our vendors and our business people in the community because we know that the challenges have been there for business people through this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when we're looking at the 5 tracks, We have, of course, communications because Muslim Journal is a method of communication, but we are looking at communications from a 21st century lens. And so, you know, what does that look like for us as a Muslim community? And we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're
okay.
looking at business in our community. So we're looking at growing our businesses, starting our businesses, making our businesses more professional. And so that's on the a platform for us. We're also
yes.
looking at relationships. And, you know, relationships are the bedrock of community life. And so
yes.
we have several workshops on relationships. We're looking at education and the value of education and how we're doing Islamic education in our community from at our masjids where we are orienting and teaching, having weekend schools and Islamic classes for new Muslims and the Muslims to be spiritually developed all the way up to our own Islamic schools that we have. And as Naima said, we have over 75 masajid in Atlanta, and we have about 10 Islamic schools, and we'll be highlighting seven of them. And they're not all in the Association of Imam Muhammad, but you'll be surprised to see how many are. And so when you see those, the video tour, you'll get to see more of Atlanta. So we're doing that. And then the other track that we have is estate planning, which I really love. The whole idea of looking at our future economically and generational wealth building. And then the last one is health and wellness, which in
yes.
this pandemic is major for us to look at our health and make sure that we are keeping ourselves in a condition that allows us to expand on all of the other things that we've mentioned. So I just wanted to share that part of what we will also be doing for that weekend. And Sister Aisha, if you have something you want to say about that, Naima, you can chime in, but I just wanted to know the thinking
yeah,
behind
well, yeah,
the
planning. Let's hear something from Aisha K. Mustafa. I know she's excited. She always got something to say. Aisha?
But I am super excited. I am super charged, and you know, I am just elated. As Naima was talking about the experience and people coming
yes,
together, I think I could be correct in Naima in that we want people as they dress up like they would if we were physically there, that they can share their presence, or they can share their photos, they can upload their gathering. I don't know if we can do it during or if it has to be collected afterwards.
Yeah, we have a process where people can send in their photos during the time. And even if people wanted to send it in ahead of time, we're going to try to get a process in place so that people can send it in ahead of time, especially once you register. If you've registered, it is nothing for you to, like, take a picture as a family, send it in and say, hey, we are the Abdullahs from Atlanta. We're going to be at A Time to Be Grateful. So loving to see all those pictures. And inside of the platform that we're actually using, we'll be able to also share some of those photos. We'll have an area where we'll actually have conference photos where people can share with one another. So it's going to be really, really exciting.
Yes,
and
I do.
Brother Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
For everyone who has not missed a single A Time to Be Grateful, send in your photos with those beautiful attire and just say I was there and what year that was that I was there.
Oh, okay.
And I also, while I'm thinking about that particular, the setup of having people come together, I want to also encourage our attendees, our virtual attendees, go ahead and set up those meals and those snacks and get all your cool drinks in order. You know, you're just becoming off of Thanksgiving, so you just have to do another Thanksgiving spread and have more and more people come over. And that way you won't have to leave the house, you know. Everything will be spread if you want to take a break and go nibble on something to eat, cool your thirst.
That's
and then
right.
come right back to the TV.
That's right, Aisha. There you go. There you go.
If you were physically there, you would be confined to the hotel for those 3 days. So just keeping your mindset. I'm confined at the hotel, so I got to go get my food and get my spread and go down to dinner
yeah.
and come right back up to the next
oh,
program.
Oh,
so
I love it. I love it.
Want,
I love it, Aisha.
This,
I love it. Yeah, let's
a,
make this a – this could be a grand affair. And, you know, I just, I'm
yeah.
you know, I'm just – I got a big smile on my face. I just love the concept. You know, this is the next best thing to actually being there. This will be a new experience
yeah,
for the
yeah.
community, a new experience for the community, yeah. but I think a very memorable experience that we can all cherish. And I know that here I'm going to be encouraging the Masters of Shore to make sure that we send a donation, that we send a donation. And I'm actually encouraging all that's listening that if you're listening to the various massages across the country of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and even if you're not a part of that, if you're a Muslim or you're a right-minded, conscious, conscientious person in knowing in terms of all the great contributions that the Muslim Journal, a.k.a. Muhammad Speaks, Bilalian News, and all of that have actually helped to supply information and education through this valuable newspaper, that we should want to support it however we can, individually, group, collectively, as a masjid, as an Islamic center, then donations. It can be too much, too small. The Muslim Journal take it all. So we want to encourage that. And everything, and so I just love the concept altogether that they are presenting. So we're going to go back to you here, Naima. We gave you a chance to catch your breath and get a drink of water. take us into day two, Naima.
Okay, day two, Saturday, December 11th, 2021. Starting the day off with the welcome. And again, as we said, we are starting at 10 a.m. to get everyone across the United States time to come together, get dressed for the day, and be ready to hear these outstanding workshops that we have. Starting off with session one, we have these concurrent workshops, which will be happening, from business to nutrition to Muslim marriage. We also have people in all of these people, of course, are all across the country. We don't want to spoil it yet to tell you who's actually going to be giving these presentations. But as you like the Muslim Journal Facebook page and follow us on Instagram, you'll be able to see all of this information coming out in real time. So again, like the Muslim Journal Facebook page, follow the Muslim Journal on Instagram, as well as the Atlanta Masters will also be covering this information in terms of the actual speakers of each of these topics. But starting a small business basics 101, this of course, again, is important for the livelihood of the community, because it used to be a time where the businesses were the community. That is how we established ourselves, and that is how the community was ran, was through businesses. And, of course, we still want to make sure that we're processing that into our community life. And then we have food and nutrition to support optimal health. And, of course, we know that you are what you eat. And so making sure that you understand food and nutrition to support your optimal health is integral to live a long and healthy life. Next, we will have the requirements of Muslim marriage, premarital and marital counseling. This is essential in order for the community to thrive. We all know that the community is made up of families, and families come from marriages. And those marriages have to start off strong with premarital counseling. And then when you run into those obstacles where you feel like you just can't do it anymore, that's where marital counseling should step in. But I'm also encouraging people to do marital counseling even if they don't have any obstacles, because again, the more that you sharpen that knife, the better that tool will be. And so marriage, again, is integral for our community to be sustainable and healthy. And then, of course, we will go into another
tour of the Atlanta Muslim community. So this is to be a presentation of all of the various masajids in the Atlanta metropolitan area. So not just the Atlanta masjid, you're going to be able to see various masajids. And again, as we said, we won't be showing all 75, but we will be showing a large portion of the Muslim community here in Atlanta with that social media, with that tour. And then that will take us into the about 11:30-ish hour. Then we'll go into session two, which will also have concurrent workshops with social media marketing. We know that this is integral in terms of, like, just how people are existing. We want to make sure that through social media marketing that it's not only healthy but beneficial. So we have workshops on that. Then at the same time, we have the mental health and wellness during the pandemic. Now, one thing about social life is that the essence of being a human being is communication. And when you don't have social, when you don't have a social life and you're not communicative with other people on a regular basis, your mental health begins to destabilize. So this is important. So people who, you know, you may have seen on a regular basis that live alone, these are things that they're kind of struggling with. And sometimes people really are trying to hold it together. But sometimes they don't even realize that their mental health instability is being broken down. So this is essential for us to be able to talk about, not just during a pandemic, but period, our mental health and our wellness. And then we'll go into building the resilient marriage. And, of course, this is essential, again, for community life. And then another workshop that will be happening during the session two is developing a spiritual foundation. Now, when we hear this term, developing a spiritual foundation, there's so many things that we can talk about, but really developing a spiritual foundation takes strategy, just like you have business strategy. Well, a spiritual foundation takes strategy, and so there will be some components where virtual learning and other strategies will be taking place during that specific workshop. And then we'll be going into another tour, again, of the Atlanta Muslim community. And so, of course, because it's so broad, we have to break that tour up into various segments. But this particular aspect of the tour will talk about the various social service organizations that we have here in Atlanta, which to me is so exciting because, again, us as Muslims, we are social beings, and social service is just part of our worship almost. And so being able to review those social service organizations is going to be exciting. And then, of course, we take a break. And I know everybody's probably like, ooh, what time is it? It's almost
what time is it, Naima, about that
it's
time?
It's almost 2 o'clock by this time. And then we'll go into session three, which, again, talking about traditional media, talking about back to school during a pandemic. This is essential. Like, going back to school during a pandemic, we know that the children have kind of suffered socially, and being able to stay on course and stay within their grade level is important. So making sure that the parents are available during that time to listen, and the children, because they need to also have some skills. But then going into organizing and maintaining a weekend school. This is important because, of course, when I was younger, used to go to Claire Muhammad School on Saturday. And that was, you know, that was like, hey, we didn't really even think about, like, hey, there's a Muslim school you can go to. No, we knew that on the weekend we would go to Islamic school and we would take up Saturday school all day doing that. So maintaining a weekend school for those students, especially who aren't attending a Muslim school, very, very important. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, tying your camel, establishing your will and trust. Now, during the pandemic, what we did learn is that...
As you said, and that's tying your camel, establishing your will and trust, that's going to be a workshop?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure my ears are still working good over
excited.
Here.
Yeah, you see, I'm excited to see that. Yeah. This is important because we had so many people who did pass away. And one thing that we know as an obligation as Muslims is that we are prepared to die. I know we just did a segment on our little Rock the Crown show this past weekend, Are You Ready to Die? And as a Muslim, you should be ready to die. And we should not necessarily be relying on the masjid to take care of our affairs. And so when you have the wherewithal and the knowledge, then you can be prepared. And that's really what being a Muslim is about, being prepared. And so making sure that you have your will and trust. And just because you have your will and trust doesn't mean that you're dying today or tomorrow. It just means that you're preparing, because you never know when that time will come. But always being prepared is better than to being reactive. And, and the only people who will be reactive are those people who are left behind. And unfortunately, also during the pandemic and just in general, you know, a lot of women have found themselves really struggling. So women and children are kind of left behind because these things haven't been put in place. And we want to make sure that women also have the optimal knowledge to make sure that they themselves are secure, whether they're married or not. I'm sorry, I'm probably adding a little extra stuff to all of this stuff. But after that.
No. I'm glad that you are, Naima, because I think this is so important. This is very, very, this is very important. We just went through that here in St. Louis, and engineer Rashid Salam did an excellent job, with the Health, Safety, and Wellness Committee here in terms of disseminating the same type of information. So, no, this is excellent. Continue on, please.
Okay, and then we're going to be going into session four, which is around about 3 o'clock. So session four for the day is business longevity and succession planning. These terms are things, again, that we as Muslims need to understand and be a part of. After the succession planning, we have community health resources without insurance, federally qualified health centers, all of these things. And then we have another session about alternative and non-traditional educational platforms. And then we also have another session, investing, what it is and how to do it. And if you are a Muslim and you say you want to make some money or you want to be rich, you want to leave a legacy, there is no legacy without investment. Okay? So investing is integral in terms of like going for the future. And when we say investing, it's not just putting money into some account or preparation and process of doing a thing. So, hey, I invest in becoming educated. I invest in having a good marriage. I invest in making sure that I participate in my community life. So that investing is a part of what we do also. So making sure that everybody is ready for that. And then we'll end that session four with another tour. Aren't you all so excited? A tour of Muslim-owned and operated businesses in the metro Atlanta area. This is really exciting because, again, Muslims are everywhere in Atlanta. And the fact that we have businesses that have not only they're successful now, but they have gone through the pandemic and continue to be successful. So this is a good indication that not only are Muslims supporting those businesses, but people are supporting those businesses, which means that we as Muslims are doing what we're supposed to do by being a asset to the entire community. So that is going to be exciting. And then ending Saturday night off is the cultural and entertainment night.
I know you want to give away everything. I know it's safe to call. But what can they be looking for? You know, that's always a grand affair for the time to be great. The culture night. So what can we be looking for, Naima?
So for culture night, Iman Atlanta is actually going to be sponsoring and hosting that specific event. So Iman Atlanta is the inner city Muslim Action Network, originally started in Chicago, and then here in Atlanta they have their second location, which is actually directed by former Imam Mansour Sabri. So get ready, everybody, because when I tell you when Iman puts on events and entertainment, it is top notch. So you're going to be finding some acts during this time that is actually going to be getting you off of your feet. And hopefully you won't be sitting the entire time. And that's why we're really encouraging, as part of health, we're encouraging people to connect their computer to their TV so that you're not sitting in one place all at night, because we know that sitting for a long time is not healthy for your legs. It's not healthy for your blood circulation. So we definitely want to make sure that everybody is always moving around during the entire day. But the culture night is going to be so exciting, and hopefully you'll have it set up in your living room where you can actually stand up, dance, clap,
all of that good stuff during the cultural night and entertainment night.
Alhamdulillah. Let me hold,
let me
put you on pause there for a couple of 3 minutes here, Naima. I mean, I know I'm very excited, and I'm quite sure the radio listening audience is very excited. Want to say that if you have questions or comments, this is the time to press 1 to come into the queue, as Naima has gone through day 1, day 2, and all. If you have any questions or comments, I do have a couple a question or two myself that I want to ask on behalf of some people here that have asked a question, and I will ask the question on their behalf too. As we know, we have a lot of singing and pioneers. You heard Karan Shakir say that the committee was thinking in regards to the pioneers, the elderly in our community, and all in terms of planning this 2021 time to be grateful there in Atlanta. So, Rashid Salam, do we have anybody with their hands up in the queue that may want to ask a question or comment? Rashid is my engineer and help co-host here on the MGM Roundtable. I know you may have something that you might want to ask this time, and while Naima is drinking some water and catching her breath there, this would be an excellent time to do that. So, Rashid, any callers in the queue that have their hands up, or yourself, question or comment?
No, we have no one in the queue with their hands up, and I'm just enjoying the presentation. That's like I'm already there, you know, so I'm excited already. She's doing a phenomenal job, you know.
I tell you, Naima, you couldn't have a better endorser, ambassador for the time to be grateful. I mean, if you just listen to her in enthusiasm in terms of what she's given it, it make you want to be there. And I'm listening to all of these very, very intriguing topics. I mean, that whereas that you can really learn something, this is going to be very informational and educational, and the topics that are pertinent to us as a community. I think you've done an excellent job in the selection, and also if there are no callers in the queue, we want to go back for the finale, which would be day 3. Naima, take us through day 3.
Day 3, Sunday, December 12th, 2021. Again, now that we've had an exciting day on Friday, you dressed up for Juma, you were looking suave, as we would say. Saturday, you still dressed up. Maybe you were in dress casual on Saturday. But then you went and took a break and got dressed for cultural night so that you had your dancing clothes on. Well, then you got some rest, and then you woke up Sunday morning, and guess what? We are going to start on Sunday a little bit, an hour later, get you a little bit more rest, because we want to make sure that you're able to end the weekend going all the way through day 3. So on Sunday, we will begin at 11 a.m. Again, welcoming the participants to the day, starting off with these concurrent workshops of the ins and outs of running a podcast. And so that in and of itself, this is considered a podcast. So we know that, you know, you can't just get on a microphone and start talking, right? It requires some planning, as we said previously. So there will be some guests that come on and talk about that. Then we have identifying and assessing funding for your business. Now, we know that funding is what keeps a business sustained and running. Without funds, you have no business. You have a hobby. So this, if you have a business and you want to identify and assess funding, this is the workshop that you need to be at.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into preparing youth for marriage. Again, we talked about premarital counseling and marital counseling. We talked about resilient marriages. Now we need to prepare our youth for marriage. And oftentimes, if we don't have our marriage in check, we can't say that the young people's marriages will be in check because, again, what they see, they do, right? So that's why it's so important for us to make sure that even if we have obstacles in our marriage, we're getting the counseling, and how we prepare our young people for marriage is making sure that ours are correct and, you know, on the up and up. And
there's so many other things that are going to happen during that workshop. And, of course, the infamous Quran Shakir will be helping with that session. And then we also have a session with a Graceline Credit Union. And another workshop that will be coming is the Next Generation of Muslim Journalism. This is so important because, again, journalism has, just like social norms, has changed so much. And so even right now in 2021, we're actually living with about six generations of people. And so when you think about six generations of people, that is six mindsets that are all completely different. And so the Next Generation of Muslim Journalism is not just about, you know, newspapers and TV. It's now about social media. And, you know, you have social justice that is still journalism. You have photo photography, photojournalism that is just as important because, of course, that is telling a historical perspective. Oh, man, it's just so many different avenues of journalism that we really want to make sure that we're introducing the community to. Because when we start thinking about, hey, you know, it's not just these basics, it's a larger spectrum, because now we can tap into being able to continue to tell our own story. As they would say in Africa, the griot. We can't, no one can tell our story but us. So when we complain about, they didn't say anything about us, why do we have to wait for somebody else's table to open up? We have our own table. Bring your own knife, fork, and plate, and we make our own table and tell our own story. So this is going to be essential for the next generation of Muslim journalism. And then we're going to also go into another workshop, which is History, Current, and Future of Muhammad Schools. Now, everybody knows that the University of Islam, way back, this is part of the history. So talking about where it started way back and where it is right now. So Muhammad Schools of Atlanta, of course, we know has been in existence and ran over 30 years. But where is the future of that going?
Yes.
And what does that look like for us? And so that's essential to talk about. And just any Muhammad school that is across the nation, not just here in Atlanta, but if you do still have a weekend school, Claire Muhammad School on the weekend, or if you have Elijah Muhammad Middle School, wherever, you know, just thinking about these things, where are they going for the future? Another workshop, protecting your health, your wealth, and your business, all about the insurance of that. Because guess what? You know, people are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, paying insurance. Why not? Because we're paying into the system anyway. So let's pay into the system with things that we know that are essential for our livelihood, your health, your wealth, and your business. And something we want to make sure that we talk about during this workshop is life insurance, which it doesn't have to be a $1 million policy. But it needs to be a policy. Burial insurance. This is integral in terms of, like, being prepared, making sure that you understand that, yes, you one day will have to be buried in the ground, and do you have insurance for that? And some plots, just as simple as $2,000, $5,000, you know, making sure that you're leaving money, especially men, leaving money for your family. How many children do you have? Do you have money set aside for their education? And if not, that's what life insurance is for. Just get it together, pay $20, $30 a month instead of getting that cup of coffee, and make sure that your family is insured. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, people will insure their car faster than insure their life. And, of course, it's other people involved when you think about the future. It's not just you. Like, make sure that everyone is taken care of. And really, again, that is the obligation of the Muslims. So that, we'll be talking about that. And then again, we still have awards. We still have awards that will be given out throughout the weekend. But again, the awards are time to be grateful. Awards will be coming through. Then we're going into session seven. Woo, are y'all ready? This is the final session of the highlight of the weekend. So the final sessions will be highlighting new and emerging businesses. I don't know if you all know, but there are so many young people under the age of 18 that are building businesses, meaning that they thought of this idea. Their parents have helped make the contribution to keep these businesses going. And these young people are on the face, are the face, and are doing the work to get these businesses growing. So we're going to be highlighting some of those new and emerging businesses, specifically those here in Atlanta. And then we're going to be also talking about getting and staying fit for life. Now, I just have to say, this particular program, I mean, I love it because one of the persons that's speaking is, she's just my biggest mentor, right? And so I'm super excited because getting and staying fit for life is something that we should be doing as Muslims anyway. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he ran. He was doing archery. And when we start thinking about our life as we are getting older, mobility is essential for us in our livelihood and health and our health and wellness. So when you can't use your knees in a specific way or you can't bend over or things like that, that leads back to mobility. And some of these things that we can do for mobility are basic, but we just don't know what those are. So hopefully they'll be talking about those things. Staying fit for life. In our life, we don't want to be like, oh, you know, I'm 60, I'm about to die. No, we want to be like, man, I'm going to live to be 89, 100. I want to live to see at least two generations of my grandkids. And guess what? We can really do that, but we have to make sure that our lifestyle is conducive for that in terms of our health and wellness. And then we want to also talk about money management. Everybody talks about this. Strategies for managing your finances, but most people always talk about not having money because they don't manage it well. And when we start talking about Africans and Black people in the world, we are a $1 trillion spending group. So when you have $1 trillion, that means that you own it. So we are the largest number of people, the largest spending, which means that we are the richest. We just have to reallocate those finances, right? So managing the finances are essential. So, you know, instead of buying those $200 shoes, go ahead and invest in some cryptocurrency, invest in a school, make a donation or whatever, but just making sure that you have strategies of managing your finances. And then, of course, we still have to round it out with another round of a Time to Be Grateful award. This is probably around 3:45, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
I know everybody's like, oh, my God, I'm so full. Those awards were so great. And then the lovely and beautiful Dr. Aisha Mustafa is going to come and give us a Muslim Journal report. And she's also going to close out the entire weekend. But that report is going to be essential. And we want to make sure that in giving the report, she is able to announce that we have supported the Muslim Journal through donations, through sponsorship, through registration, all of the different, through vending, through people just saying, hey, you know what, I want to see this go further, and just making those donations, going through, they will be coming through the Atlanta Masjid, but we want to make sure that we are supporting this entire effort. And so hopefully her report will be one in which we can all be clapping and having the accolades because we as a community came together and we said, we did that, and we can also say, it's always a time to be grateful.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Now, this is really, really, really beautiful. This is beautiful here, and let me say this here. Before I turn the mic back over to Aisha, Mustafa, and Quran Shakir and all, Naima, if you would, please, we need the most important thing here tonight is to give the information, disseminate the information to our radio listening audience, wherever you are, you're listening in, how can you register and all and make donations to the 2021 Time to Be Grateful. Naima, can you disseminate that information for us, please?
I can. So the donation page will be set up on the Atlanta Masjid website. Hopefully that will be completed by Friday. The registration link is available. It will first be coming through, again, the newsletter of the Muslim Journal. If you aren't signed up for the newsletter for the Muslim Journal, we encourage you to sign up. Those people who, again, did the pre-registration, they will get the link first because they are expressing interest. Everyone else will get it. And then we will also have it on the Muslim Journal Facebook page as well as the Instagram page where people can register for this beautiful conference because it's always a time to be grateful. Really quick, three-day passes are $150. Two-day passes are $110. And you can also do a one-day pass for $60. So just thinking about whatever's in your capacity, if you heard this weekend and you want to do all of it, definitely invest in $150 to do that. And remembering that this is really a drop in the bucket because, again, you're sharing this with your entire family at one time as opposed to having to pay for individual tickets. So just something to think about. And then we have a couple of individual a la carte, as we would say, tickets that you can purchase, the fashion show, the Muhammad School's cultural experience, and then the Saturday night entertainment package. And those will be on the site as well.
Yes, excellent.
I wanted to make sure everybody, because I know we're at the top of the hour, that everybody knows that right now we're in a crunch in our deadline for our awardees. And we sent out a link for people to nominate people for the awards, and the deadline to get those nominations in is on the 21st. So we
21st of this month. Yeah, 21st of November. And that what day would that be, the actual day, Karan?
That's Sunday, this coming Sunday.
This Sunday, okay. So that's the deadline, you know, for any nominees that you want to make. They need those nominees to be given to them by the 21st. You know, everything takes time in the process, and all those ones that are going to be acknowledged. This has been become a tradition of the time to be grateful, and also it is going to be a part of this virtual time to be grateful there at the Line of MassJet. I want to ask a couple of questions in regards to massages in terms of actually them hosting. A question was asked in terms of hosting that is a local massages, but also actually a charge of what all the money should be sent there to the Atlanta MassJet that for the time to be grateful. Have there been any discussion, this is one of the questions that came to me, have there been any discussion by your committee in regards to that, or would that be something that could or would be encouraged or discouraged in terms of that? Anybody answer that question?
Yeah, we did that similarly for the fashion show, for the Field Nectar fashion show that the MassJet has. It's online. Mm-hmm. And so we're just really hoping that because people know that this is an event where we're trying to raise money for a good cause, that people in their good conscience just say, hey, even if you have it at your local massages, or your local masjid, you want to definitely make sure that, hey, if there's 20 people, send in a donation that would be representative of that. We definitely don't want people to kind of take advantage of the situation, but we know that we have those beautiful, honest people ready for a good cause. So definitely thinking about that and sending those funds in to represent exactly how they're feeling about, hey, this is important to us, so let's invest in making sure that this weekend is successful.
Okay, great answer, great answer. Now, another question that I also have, I'm looking at this from worst-case scenario that, you know, as Karan said, that there was a lot of thought given for our seniors and pioneers in our community, perhaps those that can't get out, those who are social media savvy, if you will. Would that be some type of telephone connection or what that maybe they may not be able to actually see but be able to hear that? Has any thought been given to that? You know, as they use Zoom, they also have numbers and all that can be done. I noticed most recently there, my good friend there in Greensboro, Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin, and the project that they have going, that feature Muhammad, the founder of the Study Out of Islam, they were able to do that to accommodate some of our seniors that may not be able to hit Zoom, but they were able to listen in to the program and the fundraiser. Can anybody answer that question, please?
So we are setting up, through the platform, we're able to set up the Zoom account. And so I just need to get a final clarification from the technology team that phone numbers will be available. So at this point, until we can actually get clarification, we're going to say that that is tentative right now.
That is what? I didn't hear the last thing.
It's tentative.
Oh, tentative. Okay, I got you. Okay, tentative. Okay, I just thought I would ask. I thought I would ask this questions, and it may have already been discussed in your committee, or it may not have. But I want to raise it at this time. So what we're going to do? We're going to go back around the table. Now, Emma, you've been doing a lot of talking, so I know.
I'm
going to
be quiet.
No. You've given a lot, disseminated a lot of information, valuable information. So I want to go to Quran as we, at the top of the hour, have surpassed it, but this is so important that we can allow a few additional minutes. So we'll start with you, Quran. If you would take maybe, say, at least, say, no more than 3 minutes for summarizing what you like to leave the radio audience with, and then I'm going to let Naima give her only a half that time, and then we go close with our editor, Aisha Mustafa. So, Quran, why should you be in on a 2021 time to be grateful there in Atlanta? Quran?
Yes, alhamdulillah. We want to say to our listening audience that it is always a time to be grateful. And if you want to show your gratitude, feel your gratitude, and you want your children and your family to know what it is like to be a Muslim in the 21st century, then join us. We will have entertainment, fashion show. We will have our platform of workshops on the five tracks. We are thinking about our community and looking at the future of our community, and we need everyone's involvement. And most importantly, Muslim Journal is one of our big legacies. It has been one of the sustaining factors of our community as it has preserved our history, and we need for our community to support Muslim Journal as well as to support Islam in America and going forward. Our imam has laid a beautiful foundation for us, and now we pick up the banner and go forward as successful people ready to make a difference. Why? Because it's always a time to be grateful.
Alhamdulillah. Well said, well said. So now, Naima, we're going to come back to you for your closing remarks. And why should those who are listening in be attending this event on locale? Naima.
Okay, I'm not going to take too much time. I just want to encourage everyone to think about turning this, again, into an experience. This is a time where you can actually make your house beautiful, get your TVs ready, and connect your computer to your TV so, again, the experience can be live and in color. And in making your house beautiful, it'll also feel as though you're in a new experience. For a time to be grateful. Bringing your friends and family together is going to be essential for this program. And it's also going to make you feel good because, again, it is always, it's always a time to be grateful.
Alhamdulillah. Now, Naima, before I let you go, you got to one more time for our radio listening audience, and hopefully they got their pens and pads. They can take down this information, the website. Where do they have to go to register, and where do they have to go in terms of sending the donation, pre-registration, and also donations and all? Can you disseminate that information one last time, please?
Okay, one last time. So full registration begins on this Friday. Again, full registration begins on this Friday. Past pre-registration, that is now closed. But full registration begins on this Friday. If you are, if you receive the newsletter, please be looking out for that newsletter. If you are not a part of the newsletter, continue to follow us, the Muslim Journal, on Facebook and Instagram, and all of those links will be there. Or you can register, again, registering through the Muslim Journal, Facebook and or Instagram. Any donations and or if you'd like to be a sponsor for the event, you can definitely be going to the Atlanta Masjid website. That's www.atlantamasjid.com. And on the website, we should have the page up and running for people to make donations and, quote, unquote, to support the Muslim Journal. So those are the key places that everyone should be looking for. And through that, you'll be able to, again, do your sponsorship, make your donation, and register for the conference.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Before I go to Aisha Mustafa, our editor, so Rashid Salam, you have something to say. I think when I heard Naima mention about the Graceline community that's in the process of establishing a credit union for us. I know you're a part of that, so you'll be a part of the time to be grateful. Any comments that you'd like to make before we go and close out with Sister Aisha Mustafa? Rashid?
No, you know, Mark, I'm just so happy to just be on the line to be able to experience this excitement. And I am looking forward to the time for the Graceline Federal Credit Union concept. I am a part of that team so in that presentation, so I look forward to that presentation. I look forward to the whole weekend. I just want to thank you for sharing all this great information. Now, you want me to try to go to sleep tonight with all that information? I don't know how I'm going to get to sleep tonight, but I'm ready.
Let me say one thing I think that needs to be said to our radio listening audience. If Naima was given the information in terms of the timeline, I always like to be clear with our radio listening audience, as oftentimes those who live in the Eastern Standard Time will give it in the Eastern Standard Time, and I have to let them know there are other time zones in this country. So if you're in the Eastern Standard Time zone, the time that she gave, I know it's the Eastern Standard Time because Atlanta is in the southeast, and they're giving the time in the Eastern Standard Time zone. Now, if you're in the Central Standard Time zone, like I am and Rashid is, that would be you subtract 1 hour from that. So if, in fact, that one of the days that they start at 10 a.m., that's Eastern Standard Time. So if you're in the Central Standard Time zone like I am, that would be 9 a.m. for you. And if you're out on the West Coast, you subtract 2 more hours from that, and that would be 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. It's PC time, Pacific Coast Time. Okay, so that's so that you know you can translate that in your time zone. And as Karan said, they gave consideration to our brothers and sisters that are out there on the West Coast. So when they start at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, it'll be 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. It will be 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And if anybody in the Rocky Mountain, you know, it would be 8 a.m. there. So just make sure that we don't get confused. Oh, man, I missed that. Well, you were living in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. You have to adjust it to your time zone. I just want to say that before I turn it over to our dear editor, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, and I'm going to give her Aisha K. Mustafa time because her minutes are not like 60 seconds. Aisha.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Mark. And I am just full to the brim. I am elated as to what we have laid before us as a three-day extravaganza with a time to be grateful on a virtual platform. This is indeed a pleasure for us and an honor that the Atlanta Masjid and the sisters and brothers who are coordinating it there are doing a spectacular job. It just brings to mind that Surah 55, Ar-Rahman in the repeated stanza that says,
yes,
which of your favors of your Lord will you deny? After he goes and narrates item after item of how Allah has provided for us in nourishment and in beauty and sustaining our growth, and which of our favors of our Lord will we deny? And why are we doing this? It is because of the imperative nature of journalism and the impact in the world. If we don't want our life to be framed by Fox News, then we have to
excuse
make sure
me, there's noise, Rashid.
Game.
I'm sorry, Aisha. There's noise in the background. Please mute yourself. We can't hear Aisha very well, so please mute yourself if you have to speak. Thank you. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Sister Aisha.
I'm just going to say briefly, you know, we always talk about what role do you have in framing of our society? What do you play? Were you on the sidelines or were you involved? And a lot of times, you know, lately we really been boiling it down to, do you have any skin in the game? And you know,
yeah,
the guys on the street would tell you, I ain't got no dog in that fight. we have to have some skin in the game, and we have to put our dog in the fight. Muslim Donor is here to fight on behalf of the Muslims of this association and of this community. Brought mainstream media will probably come to you on Eid Day, come to you when a bomb goes off. They'll come to you when some disaster happens that they can stamp a Muslim name on it. Muslim Journal is here to frame your existence in its proper context. And we want to frame it on Al-Haq. We want to put in the forefront truth. And if we don't have a dog in the fight, if we don't have any skin in the game, then just sit to the side and let Fox News tell you what you're about. If that's all we're going to do. A lot of people have sacrificed. You know, I continue to go back to the soldiers of the FOI who made this Muslim Journal and its predecessors successful publications. So we're not going to stop now. We're going to carry it forward. And it is more critical now that you frame your own narrative and that you expose your own truths than ever before. Not only is it important for us, but our democracy is at stake. If you don't have someone bringing information to the general public, then your democracy is weakened, and you will have another Donald Trump and some old far right-wingers framing your institution on your behalf and telling you to go sit down. So we're in it to win it. And I just want to add one last closing thing in terms of our gatherings.
Yes, ma'am.
We will encourage our masajids to have group gatherings, but we're asking our imams and our associates, when people come to the door, they should show them before entry where they have purchased their ticket online. They should have already gone through the process of purchasing a ticket, purchasing entry, even though they're coming to the masjid for a collective viewing. So when you get to the door of the masjid, the imam says, let me see your receipt where you purchased online, and then you enter to the collective. And we'll leave it there. We will be collecting all the information, putting it in this week's Muslim Journal, the Atlanta Masjid website, as well as the Muslim Journal website at www.muslimjournal.net. And thank you so very much, Brother Mark.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you so much. And one of the last things that you said, oh, wow, that's an excellent closing statement and all, because I was looking at how you could do it as a community and all, but the Muslim Journal can receive the benefit of that and all. So I most certainly... I think it's tomorrow. I got a special masterless assurer meeting, not in terms of pertaining to that, but what you just said just put something on my mind, whereas that we can look at it, doing it as a community together. I think it'll be a lot more enjoyable and fun being together with other brothers and sisters together, but how the Muslim Journal can actually receive that. So I do want to thank all of you, and you know, as Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, which of your favorites do you deny? I want to say that next week here on the MGM Roundtable, we'll have a panel, and want to say all of you are invited, even if you just want to call in. And the topic at the roundtable would be, what is it that you're most grateful for from Allah? What is it that you're most grateful for? And I know that's a thought-provoking question, and there's so many, as you know, Allah asked the question, which of your favors will you deny? We won't deny any of the favors that Allah has given to us, but personally, individually, what are you most grateful for? You know, think about that. And we ask that you do call in. Of course, I'm going to ask Karan, as she's one of the hosts here, to be a part of the panel, but inviting you, Naima, and also you, Aisha Mustafa, to call in and let us know what is that you're most grateful for. And also that will be the topic in a question form next week here on IWDM Radio at the MGM Roundtable, as that would be the day just before Thanksgiving on the Gregorian calendar. This is something that we all can look forward to as a community, as every day is a Thanksgiving day for the Muslims and right-minded people in all, and giving thanks to our Lord and Creator. Want to say to all of you to tune in tomorrow for the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir, as she was part of the panel here tonight on MGM Roundtable, a very distinguished, esteemed co-host and a facilitating producer, along with myself, yours truly, here on IWDM Radio. That begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So please tune in tomorrow. And then after that, then you know it'll be Salatul Jumu'ah Day with my very good friend, Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, longtime resident Imam at Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, Salatul Jumu'ah with Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir. And also the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People. Once again, with our very distinguished esteemed Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, as he always have very interesting guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that begins every Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is high noon in Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Here, Words Make People with Imam Mikhail Sahir and his co-host, Imam Ayman, out there on the West Coast. And also the Sister Learning Lab. And all I have to say, we have a new production here. I can't forget the new production. And they got off to a great start in the inauguration here, inaugural production here, which is The Science of Your Health and You. That's hosted by Rashid Salam and Imam Dr. Abdul Shahid. And in terms of centometry, this is a very interesting production here. It just made a debut yesterday here. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time for The Science of Your Health and You, each and every Tuesday evening here on IWDM Radio. So please tune in for that. A lot of great information, education on the science of your health and you. And then each and every Wednesday, of course, you have the Sister Learning Lab that precedes the MGM Roundtable, and that is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday, and that's Najwa Abdul-Tawab. Join me here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, followed by the MGM Roundtable, as you just heard tonight. A very special guest joined us here on promoting the 2021 time to be grateful that it's going to be held there by the Atlanta Masthead in the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. It said be there, be square. So this year, everybody can be there without even leaving their homes. How about that? And we want you to dress for the occasion. So this should be an exciting affair. Don't keep it to yourself. Make sure you tell a neighbor, tell a friend, a family member, associate, a community member. Let's get together and support this major fundraiser for the Muslim Journal. I know I'll be looking at making my registration this weekend myself. And all be encouraging Al-Mu'minun here. And those of you at your respective masjids, go to your imam, talk to your master, for sure. Let's see what it is that we can do so that the most money that ever been sent in to support the Muslim Journal, it happens this year, 2021. So once again, I want to thank you, Naima. I want to thank you, Quran. And I want to thank you, Aisha, for joining me here on the MGM Roundtable. And I want to thank our radio listening audience for staying with us and sticking and staying and not straying away. And I want to say to you, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Alhamdulillah. It's all folks.